And now it's time for our first feature this week, and something a little different since it's Christmas time, a seasonal ghost story. It's written by David Henshaw, and our reader is Peter Dennington.
The conditions were perfect. After a lot of rain, the Waveney, bordering Norfolk and Suffolk, had spilled over the water meadows to a depth of a foot or more, and following severe frosts, there were now huge rinks of safe ice on both sides of the river, crying out for skates and thrilling long slides. The brothers peered excitedly through the gap they had cleared on their window, frosted inside and out, and raced into their clothes because the bedroom was perishing cold and there would be a fire waiting downstairs. But there would be no quick escape to the joys of the riverside ice. Their home was a farm, and 14-year-old Tim and Harry, 2 years older, had jobs to do which would occupy much of the day. The Great Depression had hit the 1930s hard in town and countryside, and the boys had to play their part in keeping the wolf from the door. Even in the Christmas holiday, when they didn't have to cycle 8 miles to school. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the light fading before they got free of their chores and reached for their clip-on ice skates. "You're not going out on the haunted meadow this late," said their father, Leonard James. "I don't believe in ghosts, but rivers are dangerous in the dark." The brothers were disappointed, especially as they'd heard other boys and girls out on the ice during the day. But they also knew what their dad was on about. The tragic death by drowning at this very spot in 1917, the last Christmas of the Great War. The James family hadn't been at the farm at that time, but the famous tale said that when the conditions mirrored those of the accident, the dead man's ghost had been seen skating at speed across the ice. There was not much joy around that Christmas in 1917. The war on the Western Front ground on with its monstrous casualty lists. At home, food was desperately short, and fear of the Zeppelins was high. Bombs had been dropped on Lowestoft and Yarmouth, and local nervousness had increased after Zeppelin L-48 had been shot down at Theberton in Suffolk earlier in the year. The story goes that a man called George Adams, son of the family who then ran the James farm, was on leave from the army and outside the house that night. He heard an aircraft engine, looked up, and there, silhouetted by the nearly full moon, was a long airship with, menacingly on its tail, the clear symbol of the enemy, the German cross. He needed to alert the authorities, but the nearest telephone was 3/4 of a mile away in the village on the other side of the river, and his bicycle had 2 flat, perished tyres. Warning his parents to stay indoors and show no lights, he decided to use his old skates to raise the alarm. "There's ice for nearly 1/2 mile on this side, another stretch on the other side, and with enough speed, I can leap the river at the Forbes Ford. Even if I fall short, the water is shallow there, and I will come to no harm," he had said. He was seen skating away fast into the distance. Nobody knows how or why his plan failed, but his army-uniformed body was recovered from the river 2 days later. And the really bitter part was that George's journey was unnecessary. The airship was indeed German, but it had been captured in France and was being flown to the experimental Royal Navy Air Station at Pulham in South Norfolk for analysis. It had lost its way in the dark, but the authorities were aware of the transfer and British fighters warned off. The James boys were not usually the sort to defy their father, but when their parents went off in their old Morris Cowley for an evening farmers' meeting at Harleston, Harry said, "That big moon's lighting up the valley like midday, and nobody would know if we had a quick zip on the ice." Tim needed no persuasion, and soon they were racing and laughing on their skates. Suddenly, the moon slid behind a big cloud, and in the gloom, Tim, at top speed, failed to spot a clump of grass sitting proud of the ice, and was sent spinning on his back in a different direction, about 30 feet straight into the black waters of the Waveney. He splashed for a moment and then vanished. Harry followed the flow of the river anxiously, shouting Tim's name, and was relieved when, after 30 or so yards, he found his brother coughing and shivering on the ice. "We must get you home quickly, or you'll catch your deaths," he said worriedly. "How did you manage to scramble out of the water?" he asked, wrapping his coat round Tim. "I didn't," Tim gasped, looking back towards the river. "The soldier pulled me out. He leaned out over the water and hauled me to safety." Just then, the moon came out bright again, and just for an instant, something like a tiny spark seemed to flash across the ice. There was no sign of the soldier, so Harry called out, "Thank you, whoever you are." Shaking with sudden fear as well as cold, Tim added softly, "Thank you, George."